Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today's Wednesday, May 3rd. A lot to talk about, a lot coming up. Next week, we'll be able to talk about how the PGA tournament at Quail Hollow went, the Wells Fargo Championship, because I will be there supporting our guy, Tony. Well, not, I'm not going to support him, but I am going to be watching him, Tony Finau. Won the Mexico Open last week, his sixth PGA Tournament championship. Flying out tomorrow morning. But today is not about golf. Today is about basketball, the NBA playoffs, and the NFL draft came and went. A lot of crazy stuff happened. Matt was a lot happier than I was. So we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm just a Georgia fan now, right? That's,
go
that's
Dogs.
How this works.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk. We don't have a structure for how we're going to talk about the draft. I think loosely we'll just go through teams we liked, teams we didn't like. And then we'll talk about how both of us, but more Matt, was wrong about the Miami Heat beating the Bucks.
Yeah, I was very wrong about that.
Yeah.
That. Anyway, what are
do you want to start with the Eagles? I feel like we do enough, like, we do our small talk. The downside of doing this with your brother that you live with is we do a small talk not when we're recording, so we don't have a lot of small talk for when we're recording.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And that went better when you were in Arizona, I think.
Because we hadn't talked all the time, so we'd catch up.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Is what it is.
It is what it is.
Is what it is.
You know, I think it kind of comes out throughout the episode, which I think is fine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's get into it. And let's just start with the Eagles. So I'll pull their draft class up. And this, I think, was my favorite class in terms of what I thought they did the best. Matt, I think, definitely agrees with me. But every player I liked, and there's actually, I was going through and I tweeted this out, teams I liked and didn't like. There were a lot of teams I liked and not a lot that I, like, hated. Which,
yeah.
Usually it's, I'd say, I don't know, close to 50-50.
Right.
So a little surprising this year. So the Eagles, first, they trade up with the Bears to get to number 9 to get Jalen Carter, talent-wise best player in the draft. Then at 30, they get Nolan Smith, who I think if they would have drafted him at 9 or 10, most people would have been like, oh, yeah, that's a really good pick. And they got him at 30.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Steen, tackle, guard. He could play guard this year, maybe play right tackle when Lane Johnson hypothetically retires next year. So it's a good kind of versatile offensive lineman, can step in at either tackle spot, I think, if you need to. For in the third round, I think it's a good player there. Sidney Brown, really productive safety. I think he had 6 picks last year for Illinois, who had 3 defensive backs drafted.
Yeah, that's very good for them.
I was talking about my bingo card for 2023 with Matt earlier. Illinois becoming DBU is not on it either.
Right.
So good for the
sense.
Good for the Illini. And then in the fourth round, they trade up and get Keely Ringo, so the third Georgia player of the draft. Before the season started, a lot of people had him going in the first round. You know, by the time the draft came around, a lot of people thought maybe second round. So getting him in the fourth is perfect. And we'll talk about him a little bit more in depth. Sixth round, they got Tanner McKee, the polar opposite quarterback of Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very good quarterback. Highly recruited kid out of Corona, California. Went on a Mormon mission to Brazil. So we will dock him a little bit for Brazil, where he served his mission. But overall, we're happy to support our Mormons.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about him a little bit more in depth. And then Moro Jomo, seventh round. I told Matt when they drafted him, like, if they would take him in the fourth, I would be like, oh, that's a good pick. You know, fun pass rusher, explosive pass rusher. So you got 3 defensive linemen. ESPN's listing Nolan Smith as an outside linebacker, but really he's a defensive lineman. And 2 defensive backs. So I think if I would have told you that's what they were going to come away with before the draft, you would have been pretty happy.
Yeah, I would have been thrilled. You know, only 1 offensive tackle, but I do think we got the best players available, you know, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Especially if he's going to be able to play guard this year. It's interesting. One thing that I kind of really, you know, understood this year that I haven't understood as much in the past is that the draft isn't so much for this year. It's for 2 or 3 or 4 years down the line. And so part of what's so great about this is, like, yeah, we're going to be good next year. The defensive line is going to be a lot the same, although Jalen Carter is definitely going to play a lot. Nolan Smith will play some.
Yeah.
But you just think, you know, 3 years down the line, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham are going to be gone. You know, hopefully Hassan Reddick's still there, but who knows?
Realistically, 1 year down the line, they could be gone.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so this looks really good. You know, we can win the Super Bowl this year, potentially next year as well. And then our other need was running back. I felt better about running back than most of our experts, but, you know, let's go get Swift, you know.
Fourth round pick in 2025?
Yeah, I think that's totally worth it.
Total $6.9 million for Swift, Rashad Penny, Gainwell, Trey Sermon, and Boston Scott.
Yeah,
I think are your five backs.
Yeah, that's a really, really great room. I like Boston Scott a lot. I like Gainwell a lot. And then, you know, getting Penny and Swift is just awesome. So
Swift averaged, when he was healthy, 8.8 yards per carry last year in Detroit.
Yeah.
So running with Jalen Hurts, with that offensive line, with that offense. I am interested to see with Brian Johnson now the offense. Steichen was offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with him gone and Brian Johnson now taking over, I imagine it'd be a similar system because I imagine it's mostly Sirianni's system. But I'm interested to see if there's any changes. But I think the whole Philly offense is going to be really explosive next year.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think Brian Johnson, you know, obviously he's got his own ideas. He's going to add his own wrinkles. But he clearly saw last year and is not going to want to change too much.
Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And what you said about the draft being not for this year but for the future years, I think the Eagles roster highlighted that perfectly because you look at 2023 and Bijan was gone before they drafted. But the point being, people were mocking Bijan, and I'm looking at this like Lane Johnson's going to be gone. Brandon Graham's going to be gone. Fletcher Cox is going to be gone. Hassan Reddick could be gone at some point. 2023, you're fine. But 2024, you are going to have a lot of holes to fill. So, and the nice thing about defensive line is both those guys are going to play.
Yeah.
Too. If you draft, like, Tanner McKee might get, like, 8 snaps this year, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the health. But you're getting young defensive linemen who can impact this year, but also fill the hole preemptively. And that's how teams get into trouble. Like, think if the Chiefs, they would have drafted a cornerback instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because they're like, oh, our roster's good, we can take a running back. And then they had some secondary issues for a couple years in a row. They did resolve that at this point. But it just goes to show there are no such things, I believe, as a, quote, luxury pick in the NFL.
Right.
So I think the Eagles, the players they got, Kelee Ringo in the fourth round, he's someone who can play. I think people have talked about him playing safety a little bit. He went to the high school down the street from me when I lived in Scottsdale. So I got to see him a few times in person. So I'm a little biased, admittedly.
Uh-huh.
He had that pick six against Alabama in the national championship to seal it. Fantastic player, I think, in the fourth round. No risk at all in the fourth round. Sidney Brown, I really like. Now, Tanner McKee is interesting. Now, he's, again, pocket passer, very slow. Even, like, his delivery is slow to some extent. But Stanford had a terrible... It's crazy how bad Stanford got. They were so good. And now they're, like, horrible.
Yeah, that...
Not Tanner McKee's fault, though.
Yeah, I guess we can talk about that, but that's a school that NIL kind of really got, right?
Yeah, well, the transfers, it's like they're going to not be able to get a lot of transfers also because academic, like just getting in is so hard and it's such a long process where the transfer portal is so rapid. So Stanford's just getting screwed by everything going on in college football. But I think Tanner McKee can be a good NFL quarterback, and even though he's not going to be able to run the same offense as Jalen Hurts, I think he, and probably not his rookie year, but I think he could develop into a capable backup, step in, and win a few games.
I'm happy with that. I think...
Lawrence Gardner-Minshew, so you need a backup.
Yeah, Lawrence Gardner-Minshew, I think, you know, obviously backing up Jalen Hurts, you do want more of a RPO option quarterback, but, you know, I'd rather have a good pocket passer than a bad RPO quarterback, and I think those are a lot harder to find, particularly in that late round. So
in the sixth round, that's, you know,
yeah,
doesn't matter, take a flyer. You know, speaking of Bijan, I think we got to talk about the Falcons. This wasn't my favorite or least favorite, but I think it was an interesting draft because everyone was like, where's Bijan gonna go? And the Falcons kind of robbed us of that just because they took him so high. You know, it would be interesting to see if a team maybe in the teens would have traded up for him. I heard the Jets were interested in both him and Jamar Gibbs, which is interesting because they have Breece Hall already. But that Atlanta offense, this is more, I guess, about Atlanta than the draft specifically, but they're going to have Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. They're kind of becoming the Warriors in the sense that they're the ultimate positionless football. You can line Kyle Pitts up anywhere. you can line Bijan up anywhere. Drake London, not as much flexibility. And, like, the 49ers, the reason they're tough to defend is because Christian McCaffrey can line up in the as a receiver. Kittle can line up in the backfield, can line up as a receiver. So you can have, you know, the same personnel grouping. You can go five wide. You can run, and Kyle Juszczyk can even line up as a receiver, the 49ers fullback. And Atlanta, they don't have that fullback, but they're trying to do a similar thing where from the same personnel groupings, you could run line up in an I formation, two tight ends, five wide out of shotgun, and it's just impossible for defense to sub and prep for that.
Yeah.
So just a note on Atlanta there.
That's good. I mean, I am a little bit annoyed with the Bijan pick just because, you know, BYU guy, love Tyler Algier, who had 1,000 yards last year.
Productive. Right? He was productive.
Yeah, he was productive. So, yeah, I understand he's like, you know, supposed to be, like, the best running back we've seen in quite a long time. But I'm sure Tyler, they're still going to give him the ball. He's still going to get his chances. So.
Yeah. Let's talk about Denver. Now, none of this is in any particular order other than me being just kind of, oh, let's talk about this team now. Now, Denver, they only had 5 picks. So, and the first one was in the second round. They actually traded up to get Marvin Mims from Oklahoma, who I mocked to him. I said, I think that'd be the best fit for Denver, the best fit for Marvin Mims as well.
Yeah.
They got my favorite player in the draft, Drew Sanders, in the third round. Riley Moss from Iowa could be the first white corner in 20 years to be a starter. So, fun draft for the Broncos. Only 5 picks. But, you know, they're loaded in the defensive backfield. Drew Sanders is an awesome pick. Denver has probably not the best, but the deepest receiving core. You know, I think they go like 5 guys who are like plus receivers, at least average receivers. So, interesting to see what Sean Payton can do. Any thoughts before we go to New England?
No, let's just go straight to New England.
Sorry, I'm not giving you any heads up on this. I'm just picking teams that I have teams that I picked out, but no particular order.
Yeah, well, also for context, Jake's been gone all day, and the moment we finish this, he's going to pack to go to North Carolina for this golf tournament. So we are rushing through a little bit, which is fun, I think.
Yeah. And also, I love the draft, but, you know, I think we're late to the recap game as well, if we're being realistic.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
That's fine.
But no other draft recap is going to talk about the NBA playoffs as well.
Right.
So here's the thing with New England. So, first thing, they drafted a 14. They traded back to 17 with Pittsburgh. So, the best thing they did was give the New York Jets the middle finger, because Pittsburgh drafted the last, like, A-tier tackle in Broderick Jones,
uh-huh.
who the Jets were, I mean, we'll never know, but the Jets were basically going to draft that guy. And then they had to panic and they drafted Will McDonald. And New England still got Christian Gonzalez. I would have taken him as high as 3. I love cornerback from Oregon. I love how he plays. He's long. He's smooth. He's fluid. Can mirror their receivers. I think he has good ball skills. And they got Keon White in the second round, who I thought could have gone in the first round, from Georgia Tech, defensive end. Marte Mapu is a, you know, safety linebacker, one of those type players from Sacramento State. First non-combine player drafted. First 3 picks, they give their defense a lot of versatility, a lot of physicality, and I think their defense got upgraded as much as any defense in the draft as far as kind of like year one impact I think these players can make. Middle rounds, you know, they got some offensive linemen. Jake Andrews from Troy I like as much as an offensive lineman from Troy that I can. I wasn't watching a ton of that, but
sure.
But I did like what I saw. Now, Kayshon Boutte, have you heard that name before?
I have not.
6th-round pick from LSU in 2020, freshman year, blew up, crushed it, dominated at LSU. 2021, not as productive. 2022, first year with Brian Kelly. I think they just didn't get along because I think he didn't even play in all the games, just had some real issues, and he just tanked off. At the beginning of the year, people were saying he was going to be a first-round pick, and he just fell off. Now, everything I'm saying is third-hand or second-hand. English teachers is second-hand or third, what I've heard from other people.
Well, it depends. Have those other people you've heard it from, are they directly in the room or not? Because if they're not directly in the room, then it's sort of third-hand, but I don't really think that's a...
I didn't hear it from you, so no, they're not in the room.
No, but not in this room, but I mean, you didn't hear it directly from the people.
Oh, no, I just mean like media writing, things like that.
So, I mean, kind of... yeah, Yeah, so third hand's not really a phrase. I would say second hand.
Nothing I've heard directly. Yes. Nothing. I haven't talked to Kayshawn or anyone else used to have, but some work ethic question issues came up. And then in the combine, vertical leap was 29 inches, which for a NFL receiver, if your vertical starts with a two, my vertical starts with a two.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not very good.
Right.
Anything in the 40s explosive, but really anything, you know, you need to get at least in the 30s, really high 30s, to be like, all right, this is an explosive athlete. So tested horribly. I mean, sixth round pick is fine, but I wouldn't have drafted him at all. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. I think he's talented enough where it's worth the risk, but the first three picks are really what stand out for New England for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, that Christian Gonzalez, I knew he wasn't going to go to the Eagles. I wanted him to. You know, how he's shown that he's not going to draft a corner in the first round, which this year is okay, right?
Well, I mean, how you ended up with Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith, so yeah, I think it's fine.
Right. But he's going to be awesome. You know, New England has had really, really good corners in the past, and so we know that Belichick likes that.
Yeah. I love that. Christian Gonzalez was my favorite corner in the draft. Favorite player, again, goes to Drew Sanders. But I really, really... Christian Gonzalez might have been number two. Let's go to Indianapolis. So first thing in the highlight, they take Anthony Richardson at number four, quarterback from Florida. Now, he is with Shane Steichen, who was with Jalen Hurts. I don't think they're actually that similar of players, but I think they have a relatively similar enough skill set where they could run a similar offense. And just like Jalen Hurts, big picture-wise, Jalen Hurts' biggest problem, I think, in the NFL was accuracy, mm-hmm. and probably specifically, you know, just becoming an NFL passer.
Yeah.
Big picture-wise, that's Anthony. I think Richardson's actually less accurate, but further ahead as a passer than Jalen Hurts was as a prospect. So some pluses, some minuses. But I think he can have an interesting rookie year. But the second, third, and fourth round picks are really, really what I love. Julius Brents, long cornerback from Kansas State, really liked him. Third round, they get Josh Downs, perfect complement to Michael Pittman. He ran, according to PFF, the most unique routes in college football last year.
Interesting. Just strange shapes? Or
yeah, well, like DK Metcalf ran like three routes at Ole Miss, for example.
Right,
yeah. And Josh Downs was doing everything.
Yeah.
And also, in North Carolina, they actually did have another receiver drafted who I love, Antoine Green, went to Detroit. But Downs was really the guy, and we've talked about this before, but when you're really the only guy and you still are very productive, that does say something about you.
Yeah.
I think right away Josh Downs is going to be a really good receiver. I think their second-best receiver behind Michael Pittman from day one. Get open underneath. Indianapolis has all those huge tight ends. So I think Josh Downs just fits in perfectly there. And Blake Freeland, the BYU tackle we talked about, he was the best athlete at the tackle position at the NFL Combine. Fourth round, definitely worth a flyer. Like I said, I wanted the 49ers. Did I say that while we were recording? Maybe not.
I remember hearing it from you, certainly.
Okay. Well, I've told Matt this a few times, but I wanted the 49ers to draft him instead of the stupid kicker that we got in the third round. So I like that pick. And Adebawori, the defensive lineman from Northwestern, he's been kind of pegged inside, outside. He's listed as a defensive end by ESPN. He tested really well. The, you know, actually watching him play didn't match up with the testing. So do you go with how he played? Do you go with how he tested? I think fourth round, it's worth taking a risk on that physically gifted of a player. And there's some fun stuff as well. But really, the second, third, and fourth round picks are really, really what I liked about Indianapolis.
Yeah. No, the Anthony Richardson thing, in our draft, we had him falling pretty far just because of a lot of our concerns. So, that's interesting to see them trade all the way up and see if that picks up. Got a lot of really good positions, a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of linemen. So, a lot of value positions with all of these picks that they have.
Yeah. Now, the Rams, let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams next. And it pains me to say this, but I actually like what they did. It's the same thing. It comes down to the second, third, fourth, fifth round picks. They didn't have a first round pick, but their first pick in the second round, they got Steve Avila, play guard or center from TCU. I thought he could have gone in the first. In our thing, we did have him going in the first, I think. They got Kobe Turner from Wake Forest, who was actually a tight end at Richmond. Walk-on, actually, tight end at Richmond, like, because he didn't go to any, like, recruiting camps in summers in high school because he was really big musician, so he was a really big musician. So, long story short, under-recruited guy, transferred to Wake Forest for his last year, really productive, got him in the third round. Stetson Bennett in the fourth round made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. Nick Hampton, outside linebacker, edge player from Appalachian State in the fifth, that's easy. Trey Tomlinson, the nephew of the Danian Tomlinson. He's like 5'8", but he's a cornerback, very physical. You know, TCU had the fourth most players drafted this year.
That's not shocking. I don't know if that's what I would have picked right away, but
yeah, so them. Number one and two teams were tied for the most. I think you can guess those.
Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah. So TCU was four. Do you know who was third? It's not really a trick question, but it's also not like the most obvious answer.
So, yeah, I mean, the most obvious would be Ohio State. I'm not going to say them. I kind of want to say Clemson.
It's Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, three out of the four college football playoff teams. And then the fourth was Ohio State. They did make the playoff. Alabama didn't make the playoff. They're the only team who didn't make the playoff on that list.
Right.
Ole Miss running back Zach Evans, former five-star. Love to see that. Jason Taylor in the seventh round. Safety from Oklahoma State. It's got a bunch of, like, good players, and they're in a position where I think a lot of people say the Cardinals have the worst roster. I think it's the Rams. So just getting a lot of those, like, good players, I think, is helpful. And even if they're at, you know, running back, guard, defensive tackle, you still need those players. You still need to have a roster.
Yeah, no, they're – well, and they, no matter what they did, they weren't going to win next year anyway, so right. Might as well.
Might as well get some good players, build the infrastructure a little bit.
Yeah. No, but a lot of fun things here. Puka Nacua, BYU, shout out to him.
If he can stay healthy, he will outplay his draft status. He is the – I know people are going to say Utah's not the best high school state, which is true, but he is the Utah all-time leading receiver.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Utah may not be the best all-time state, but per capita, it's really up there.
It's in the top 10 for, yeah, like college recruits per football player.
Yeah.
We produce talent just because the population is lower than other states. It's never going to be on the same level, but the ratio is actually really good in Utah high school football.
Yeah. But yeah, Kobe Turner, I didn't even realize that Richmond had a football team.
Yeah.
I thought they just went to March Madness every year.
You know, that's where Todd McShay went, was Richmond.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. The Spiders.
Yeah. Are they called the Spiders?
Yeah, they're the Richmond Spiders.
That's such a weird thing to be a like, go Spiders.
Have you seen their mascot?
No, I know their logo is, but I thought they were going to be... I don't know what I thought that'd
like
be.
Like the Black Widows or something?
No, I don't know. I guess it's like the... I thought they were going to be like the Crimson Tide or something. Like, it's not like go Elephants, you know? That would sound weird.
No, they're the Spiders.
Okay, well. that's just funny to me. I don't know.
Well, shout out Richmond. Last team we're going to talk about, and this was probably my second or third favorite draft. Philadelphia is number one. I'll say Indy is two, and this one's three. But Seattle Seahawks, which again also bums me out because like half the teams in the 49ers division. No one thought they were going to draft Devon Witherspoon at the fifth overall pick. They got two awesome corners in the day three last year. But that secondary, that's the best young secondary in the NFL, especially with Witherspoon in there. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I've said this before, he can be the best receiver in the NFL. Derek Hall, edge rusher from Auburn, you know, high motor, high four player, might not ever be like a Pro Bowl player, but he's just going to be a really good football player, really good edge player for them. Zach Charbonnet in the second round was interesting. So running back from UCLA, a lot of people had him as the third running back in the draft. Now, last year, Seattle also sent a second-round pick on Kenneth Walker. So, football-wise, you know, they're kind of opposite players, so it makes a lot of sense. I don't love using two second-round picks 2 years in a row on running backs. Fantasy-wise, people are very upset. But real-life-wise, I think it's going to be a really good backfield for Seattle. Now, the later-round picks, were just kind of, you know, nothing bad, nothing good. But the first four picks, I think, you know, Witherspoon, Smith, and Jigba, Derek Hall and Zach Charbonnet are really interesting, and especially Witherspoon and Njigba. That's, you know, to the back end of your defense, and adding Smith and Njigba with Metcalf and Lockett, You know, you sign Geno Smith, maybe he has one more good year. You might as well give him the best receiving core you can.
Yeah.
So I thought they got better for 2023 as much as anybody else in the draft.
Yeah, they got another running back later. Two running backs in the same.
A Georgia running back.
Kind of crazy. Yeah, I mean, anybody from Georgia is good, as we know. So
right.
So good for them. Yeah, it's going to be fun to see Njigba and DK Metcalf on the same team. Just it's going to be very hard to cover.
Other than I hate the Seahawks, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
Except it's going to bum me out most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else, Jeff, you want to talk about? Those were the teams that I really liked what they did in the draft and who I thought did the best.
Yeah, no, those are the big ones. Nothing else really came to mind. Shout out Jaren Hall going to Minnesota.
BYU quarterback, two BYU players drafted.
Yeah, Utah had a bunch of picks. Cincinnati. You can maybe explain this. Maybe they signed some free agents I wasn't aware about. But Cincinnati did not draft any offensive linemen, which seems insane.
Or tight ends. And that's what we were talking about.
Two wide receivers in what is a really good wide receiving core.
Now, they are fun wide receivers. So Charlie Jones from Purdue, and then Andre, it's A-N-D-R-E-I. So do you pronounce that Andre?
With a
Russian accent? I can't do any accents, so I'm not going
to
try.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd have to look up where he's from, but I think it's generally Andre.
Now,
no matter what.
To be fair, I like the players they did get. Miles Murphy's, I think Nolan Smith is better, but Miles Murphy, the pick before, actually, a good edge rusher from Clemson. DJ Turner blew up the combine as a corner, so they're just adding to that backfield, especially because they lost Jesse Bates, the safety. They drafted Jordan Battle. Speaking of safety, he's a really good player from Alabama. And Chase Brown is the brother of the Brown safety who got drafted by the Eagles.
Oh, nice.
So they got good players, but yeah, maybe just board. The board did match up because Michael Mayer was available at 29. So maybe just they thought they were fine at tight end or an offensive line. So yeah, I don't really have an explanation for that. Like the players they got are fine, but I don't think it really matched up with kind of where their team's at.
Yeah, just seems very strange, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a fun time.
Love the draft. Can't wait for 2024. Drake May could go number one.
Yeah.
North Carolina quarterback.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Love to next see year, it. Maybe, so. Hey, Drake May, if you're listening, I'll be at Sup Dogs on Sunday watching the PGA tournament there. So Friday and Saturday, we're going to the tournament, and Sunday, going to be in Chapel Hill just watching it. Sub Dogs, we went there, right? Or we drove by it at least. It's a like tater tot place.
Oh yeah, we did not go in.
Okay, that's where I went with that girl that one time.
Yeah.
So I think it was the best bar stool, like best college bar, like 2 or 3 years in a row. I don't know how fun it's gonna be on like a Sunday afternoon.
Right.
But very fun place.
Well, yeah, probably not I don't picture a ton of UNC kids going to watch golf. I don't know if you're gonna be on the UNC campus, but.
It's on Franklin Street, so it's across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Now, Al's is closed, the burger place, because it's Sunday. And the barbecue place in Raleigh is also closed.
Very.
So, that bums me out.
Very disappointing.
But that biscuit place should be open as well. So, I think we'll go biscuit place, definitely eat at Sup Dogs, and maybe Sutton's as well. Just because our buddy's never been to Chapel Hill, and I feel like you got to go to Sutton's, the drugstore.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah.
Should we talk about the NBA playoffs for a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk about the NBA playoffs.
Now, Miami is my... Now, not when I say favorite team, I'm not like literally a Miami fan, but I'm absolutely cheering for them. They won game one against New York. Beat Milwaukee 4-1. What did you think... Now, we're like a week late to this at least, but what did you think of the Giannis response to that reporter when the reporter's like, did you consider the season a failure? Giannis, I'm paraphrasing, was like... You know, did Michael Jordan fail 9 times? Blah, blah, blah. Because I have some mixed feelings about the overall thought on it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it, and I think it's kind of a semantics thing. Because, you know, you listen to Kobe, and he's like, every year we don't win a championship is a failure. And in one sense, it's like, yes, you did not, you know, accomplish your goal. Your goal should be to win a championship. But failure is just such a strong word. It kind of implies there's something wrong with you, or you did something bad, you know. So, but like there just needs to be a word for lack of accomplishment, or like fall short would be better. Like, certainly the Bucks fell short. I think that's true. But I don't know. Like, Giannis was hurt, and so it's hard to. It's hard to criticize them too much when Giannis was hurt. Obviously, I thought they should have won the series even with him being hurt, although he's an enormous part of their success. I think they're probably the most successful team with the least talent around their superstar. And certainly they're the only team that has one true superstar that's a contender every year.
Well, it's interesting. Before we die, like, just in general, like, Miami, Milwaukee, I think this is, like, the fourth time they've played in, like, 6 or 7 years in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, a sweep or, like, 4-1. They're always awesome series, but they're never, like, actually close.
Right.
Which is weird. But Miami, or Milwaukee, Nick Wright said this is the earliest an NBA number one overall seed has gone out of the playoffs. Your goal is to win a championship. So they kind of, like, Kobe's, in that sense, they did fail, like, I understand what Giannis is saying in a sense, like, he's not a failure as a person, but at the end of the day, the team whose goal was to win a championship didn't even make it out of the first round. Like, I think the season would be a failure. Absolutely.
Yes.
Nick Wright also, he compared it to the Bills and the Jaguars, where they both won their division, both lost in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, the season was a massive success. Trevor Lawrence showed huge improvement. The team showed awesome improvement. They're on the right trajectory. The Bills were Super Bowl or bust. Second year in a row, they won in Kansas City. Didn't get the number one seed still and lost in the divisional round. So even though the results were the same, the Bills, you know, based on it's just expectations minus reality, you know? So I would say the season was a failure. I understand Giannis being, I don't even want to say defensive about it. And it sounds like that reporter asked them the same thing last year. And Giannis has, you know, there's a little bit of history there. Actually, the same thing happened with Zach Wilson, where there's a lot of reporters who, it sounds like, they bug athletes and athletes respond back to them. And then everyone gets on the athlete's case about it.
Right.
Which is dumb. But anyway, roundabout saying, I hope Miami beats New York. I think that'd be an awesome story. Jimmy Butler's awesome. Warriors lost game one to the Lakers, so the Lakers stole home court advantage there. I thought the Nuggets are up 2-0. I'm kind of worried about the Suns. I want to be honest, but they just can't have zero depth.
Yeah, well, that's why I said that I thought the Nuggets were going to win the whole thing. Is just they did give up a lot of depth, and also it's just hard for me to see a team winning the title if their best players have only played 3 games together. And, you know, obviously, you know, Chris Paul's not 100% right now. And so that's absolutely affecting it. But yeah, if you don't have any depth and your superstars don't have any time to play together, it's hard to say, like, it was just impossible for me to envision them, you know, going the whole way. And the Nuggets, you know, they haven't had the most success, but this is the most healthy they've been in a long time. And I also think it's kind of the most open that the West has been. So I feel good about the Nuggets, and I feel good about the Nuggets looking at the Warriors and the Lakers.
Do you, 1 to 10, we did this last time, or last time we talked about the playoffs at least, but what's your confidence meter in the Nuggets being up 2-0? Is it at a 10?
Not at a 10, because, you know, Kevin Durant can still Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But I will say, I don't know, to be up 2-0, 7. To win the series, 8. If that makes sense. Like, even if they drop that next game, I feel like they're going to win the series.
Yeah. Now, what's your confidence meter on the Nuggets winning the West? So, factoring in they have to win the series and then beat either the Warriors or the Lakers.
I would say, I don't know, like a 7. I mean, I'm just, maybe this is just me thinking as like a teacher, as like a 60% is a failure. So I don't want to give them a 6. Yeah. You know, obviously the Warriors and the Lakers both have better talent at the top than the Nuggets. I still think the Nuggets are a better team and I would pick them to win. So I'm going to say 7.
Okay. don't know what I would say. I would say maybe a 4 for the whole thing, just because I still kind of think the Warriors-Lakers winner has a really good shot to beat them. The Nuggets are in the best position, for sure. Like, if I had to pick someone, I might pick the Nuggets just because they have the best chance. I wouldn't pick the Nuggets over the Warriors or the Lakers, but I think I'd pick the winner of that series over the Nuggets. If that makes sense.
Yes. No, I know what you mean. Like, you just think LeBron James or Steph Curry is going to be able to figure it out.
Right. Like, Steph Curry, 50 points in Game 7. That's the first time that's happened. That was an awesome series, Sacramento-Golden State.
Yeah, that was a great series.
50 points in Game 7. I think I saw he had the most dribbles as well in Game 7.
Yeah.
He just was not going to let them lose.
But
I'm not sure Jokic has that same gear.
Yeah, but it's also a team that won about 25 to 30% of their road games this year. Went to a 7-game series against Sacramento, and now you're asking them to go win these road games in Denver. I feel like you're asking them a lot more. Like, and at the beginning of the playoffs, everybody's like, Sacramento's not good. Sacramento's a bad 3 seed. Everybody was trying to play into that 6 seed to end up against Sacramento. And for Sacramento to, a totally inexperienced playoff team, Sacramento, to push the ultimately experienced Warriors into 7 games, I just don't think the Warriors are really... In fact, I think... I kind of want to pick the Lakers,
honestly. To beat the Warriors?
Yeah.
They're up 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I did not see... As impressive as Steph was from a team across a series, I did not see a lot to give me confidence this year.
Now, here's a question. What do you think was the straw that broke the camel's back for Dylan Brooks? Because me and you have been off of him since college, but I feel like everyone now is off of Dylan Brooks, including the Memphis Grizzlies. Shams report, under no circumstances would they bring him back. I've never seen a team report under zero circumstances. And it's usually just they're not going to bring him back, or he mutually agreed part ways, whatever. I mean, if you can't, that's why I don't like wear eye black and stuff when I play rec softball. The more you talk, the more, you know, stuff you have about you, the more you got to back it up.
Yeah, I mean, one thing, I think there were, I know you asked for one thing, but I think there's kind of two. The one for me that was like, clearly this is a person who is out of touch and is not, does not really understand how people perceive him, is he said, I don't respect anyone until they give me 40. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why, if you lose a game and LeBron scores 30 points, like, oh, LeBron can't score on me if he scores 30 points. Like, that doesn't mean anything.
It's just nonsensical.
Yeah. So that doesn't make sense. And then when they lose, to refuse to speak to the media, I think that was one thing. It's like, you can't talk and then not talk when you fail.
Yeah.
That people really, really hate. And they would have made fun of him for going to that press conference, absolutely. But they wouldn't. And I don't want to say they would have respected him for going, but they can't respect him now.
Yeah. Well, okay, me and you have been off him since college, so glad everyone's catching up to him.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see where, if he ends up anywhere.
Now, before we get to the top five, we didn't talk about the Philly-Celtics series. Philly shockingly won. I don't want to say shockingly, but the Celtics were like 8-point favorites. Philly won game one.
It is pretty shocking that the Phillies beat the Celtics in basketball. That would shock me.
Didn't I say Philly? Did I say Phillies?
He said Phillies.
Oh, my bad. Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, hey, Bryce Harper's coming back soon.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about Boston still.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, Joel Embiid just won the MVP, so he's another one with health you got to look at. I mean, where if he's not really healthy, then they kind of don't have any chance, I would say. But yeah, I mean, and James Harden's been playing pretty well too, you know, getting a lot of assists. So I would say my confidence in the Celtics is closer to 6. I think this is the one that, you know, I'm probably least sure about.
That Philly team with Embiid, obviously, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick. I'm not naturally rooting for the Sixers, but that was a fun team.
That was a fun team.
I love J.J. Redick, which is a long story. Love Jimmy Butler. I you know, if Kawhi misses that shot, I think that's one of the biggest what-ifs in NBA history.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's one where you wonder. And, you know, Ben Simmons was better then than he is right now, certainly.
He was on the floor.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but I mean, you do think it's like if they sub Ben Simmons for not even really James Harden, even if you sub him for a Chris Middleton type, which I think Milwaukee would have done that trade probably.
Yeah.
So you just think they probably do win that team at some point.
Are you ready for the top five?
Let's do our top five.
So this is what we're doing. We're doing this NBA playoff cities left. So there's eight cities left. So Denver, Phoenix, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Boston, Philly, Miami, New York.
Now, are we talking environment?
We're talking food.
Food, okay.
Food cities. Out of those eight. Now, I've never been to Miami. I don't think you have either.
Nope.
So we're not going to say Miami, even though I hear the food's fantastic there.
Yeah.
So when we don't list Miami, it's just because we haven't been there. So really, it's out of the seven.
I could say Miami. I like a Cubano every once in a while.
Yeah, okay. I'm leaving Miami off just because I'm disqualifying them. I'm withdrawing Miami from consideration.
Yeah.
I would love to try the food there. Let me just do 2 seconds to count backwards because I got the one and the two. Three, four, five. Okay. So five, I go Phoenix. You know, I live there. Really good food. Lots of taco. If you have taco recommendations you need, let me know in Phoenix. Four, I'll say, I probably should put this three, but I'll say New York four.
Okay. Now, last time I feel like we just ranked food cities in the country. I thought you had New York at number one.
Did I?
I could be misremembering, but I had New York pretty low and we argued about it. Low out of a top five, not low in the country.
I actually do remember that. Well, I would have had like California ahead of New York, right? And I would have had like Georgia ahead of New York.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I like New York, and the reason I think I should have them higher is because there's a lot of like, you know, super nice restaurants I haven't been to that are really awesome in addition to all like the pizza places and stuff.
Yeah.
The reason I'm putting San Francisco three, and it's a little bit biased, but I also lived there, so I just ate more, you know, got to try different food places. That South American restaurant, which I don't remember the name of, is awesome.
Yeah.
Tony's is my favorite pizza in the United States. Two, I'll say Philadelphia cheesesteaks.
You're putting Philly ahead. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just shocked.
Ahead of what? Well, Los Angeles is number one. Oh, I'm putting Philly ahead of New York.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't, actually. I probably should. I'm going to keep it, but you're right.
I love a cheesesteak.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I think, because what's New York food?
That was my point when we talked about this. That was what I was trying to say.
Am I not allowed to develop feelings as I go? I don't...
No, yeah. And what we say, obviously, pizza's a big thing. I think what we meant, or what I meant, is that, like, you can get really good Indian food in New York. You can get really good Japanese food in New York. But my point, and I think, Jake, what you're saying is, like a Cubano in Miami, it feels like...
Miami.
It feels like Miami, right? Pizza is really the only thing that feels New York to me.
And bagels, I guess.
Yeah, bagels, too. I just don't really like bagels, so...
I'm just saying that's a New York food, like,
yeah.
And I guess, well, for Los Angeles, I'm just gonna say it's Mexican food, which is really not Los Angeles. Yeah. But I think that's a big identity of LA.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the identity. The other thing with LA is burgers. I think it's probably the best burger city in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not In-N-Out.
No, not In-N-Out. Not In-N-Out. Also, donuts. In Los Angeles.
That is true. Now, you our family watch a documentary about Los Angeles donut shops, Vietnamese family specifically.
Cambodian
family, yes. Specifically. It was interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It was just, we'll get back to the top five in a second, but yeah, go watch The Donut King on Hulu. It's about a Cambodian immigrant who basically, he learns how to run a donut shop, and then he teaches other Cambodians how to run donut shops. And so now, 80% of donut shops in Los Angeles, 90% of donut shops in Houston, run and managed by Cambodian immigrants, which is really cool.
You know, culture is so interesting.
It is interesting. And I love a donut. Okay, yeah, I would have to, I'll just pull up the playoff teams.
Now, I left off Boston. left off, I would have put Denver next just because the Denver Biscuit Company is fantastic. They have a Torchy's Tacos there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like my favorite food I've had in Boston. Probably Dunkin'.
Well, the best food we had in Boston was our mom has spent quite a bit of time in India. She has some Indian friends. And so one of our mom's friends invited her to her house and she cooked the best Indian food. I mean, got to be a top three meal
ever. Of our entire lives.
Yeah, so good. Yeah.
But that's not like Boston food. But that was in Boston.
Totally. Okay. So I'm going to say, I am going to say Miami, never having been to Miami. I'm sorry. But, you know, Cubano's a great, one of my favorite sandwiches.
I'm sure it'd be on my top five if I was counting it.
Yeah. So I'll say Miami 5. I'll say New York 4. I will say, I'll say Philly 3. I'm going to put LA 2 and San Francisco 1. And the reason that I am, I think that you're getting, you know, there's more good restaurants in LA. It's obviously a bigger place. I think that's probably true. The thing about San Francisco is I would put their top restaurants against anybody in the country. I think Tony's might just be the best pizza place in the country, including New York.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, you know, Bob's Donuts is going to hold a candle to any donut shop in LA.
It's my favorite donut place.
Yeah, so
it's Bob's.
Really good taco shops we had. You know, we've had really good ice cream there, South American food, breakfast spots.
That's South America. I really wish I remember the name because that's the best chicken I've ever had was that South American restaurant in San Francisco.
Yeah. And then we also had the, I don't remember the name of the cheesesteak place. Buster's.
Oh, Buster's, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's like, I think you're going to go to San Francisco.
Buster's is good.
As long as you know where to go, I think you're going to get the best food in San Francisco.
And we're not even counting like Oakland or like San Jose. We're just talking San Francisco.
Just talking San Francisco. And yeah. Oakland, by the way, has some really good pizza, a lot of other stuff too. Japanese food in Oakland, but I'm sure also. And I think San Francisco is going to have better Chinese food than any of those other places.
Yeah. So. Now that you mention it that way, like half of my favorite restaurants for like specific food genres are in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's like barbecue, North Carolina, probably San Diego for tacos. Basically, every other food place is in San Francisco. Like, my favorite pizza, my favorite donut shop, my favorite whatever is all in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, great point.
Yeah. So, we got San Francisco high in the food rankings.
If you want to know where to go, let us know. Buster's is really good.
Those cheesesteaks. Well, and again, the only cheesesteak I've had in Philly, which really makes me sad, It was at Geno's, but it was the Geno's in the airport because I didn't have a long enough layover to get out and go anywhere. So
it's crazy how much you love Philly, and I've been there like 3 times, and you haven't.
I've never been. I really want to. Yeah.
You know, at some point, I mean, I guess the Niners played the Eagles for the NFC Championship game. I don't think either of us could spend $1,500 on tickets or whatever for that regular season game. Niners, Eagles,
deal,
Philly.
Sometime like they'll have a regular season.
Giants, Phillies, or something. Yeah,
they're in the NFC, so they're going to play more. Yeah. They're more likely to play than some other teams.
Giants, Phillies might be more realistic because they do play every year.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's fun.
Appreciate everybody listening. Next week we'll be talking about the PGA tournament, probably more NBA playoffs, and whatever else we want to talk about. If you haven't given us a 5-star review, please do so. It really helps us out. Let us know what you think. And we'll talk to you guys next week.